Well, good morning, church.
Good morning.
And good morning to you, Lord. So just for a point of reference, just before this passage, Jesus was teaching with a parable that talked about forgiveness, 70 times 7. And that always seemed to baffle people. What do you mean 70 times 7? And they multiply it out, and they, do we keep track of how many forgivenesses we give? No, that's not what that means or what it is about. It's not a call for us to count or even limit how many times we forgive someone, but it's a call to accept the concept that there is no limit to how we should forgive. So that's what Jesus was saying in his parable of the prodigal son. So in response to this, the disciples are like, well, okay, they're listening to this, and they're, as usual, they're not quite getting it. And they just figure it would be just easier for Jesus just to fix everything. And then they wouldn't have to worry about it or do anything. They wouldn't have to up their ante on their faith scale. So if Jesus would just up their faith or improve their faith or strengthen their faith, they wouldn't have to worry about what it was that they were called to do as disciples. Clearly, that's not an option by Jesus' standards to just take on the responsibility of someone who's called to follow him. Jesus then instead offers them the vision or the image of the mustard seed, which is very, very tiny. Now, at this point, I just got to take a second and do a little botany lesson. Excuse me, my gardeners, because I don't get it either. There's a difference between a mustard plant and a mustard tree. A mustard plant is something that's bushy and, yes, a little seed, and it's used to make mustard. A mustard tree, and it's fairly small. A mustard tree, however, is a very large tree and grows in the area where Jesus taught and preached. And it's hard to see, but you can pass it if you want. This is the tree, and these are the people. So you can see it is quite large. It puts a whole new perspective on this passage. So that's the end of my botany lesson. It gets a little bit more confusing if you start reading about which is which and who says what is which. But anyway, that's the basis. We won't be planting one anytime soon anyway. So in the area, like I say, where Jesus preached and taught, the tree grew as tall as 20 feet, and it was one of the favorite trees for birds to nest in. A mulberry tree is a very strong tree. It has deep roots, and it stays put where it is. But Jesus says that even with deep roots, it can be moved by something much smaller that begins very small and turns into something very big. In other words, this little mustard seed faith grows so strong that the mulberry tree has to get out of the way if called to do so. The power of faith is measured by the ability to begin with something small and nurture it to grow into something large. However much we think faith that we have or don't have, whatever we think that we possess in our heart, how big our mustard seed is, the point is, it's the important part, is that we persist, that we continue to measure who we are through persistence of following Jesus and listening to Jesus. What can be done with what we have, not what we might have or what we want. What can be done to nurture our faith. It's not as easy as asking Jesus to do it for us, although that would be nice. Now, see, the nurturing part of the seed to grow is our job. You don't have to know everything or anything about the facts of the Bible, though they come in handy, or any of the theology or all those things that people study, to have faith, to have it grow in your heart, and to take that message of Jesus into the world. So we nurture our faith how? We nurture our faith through prayer, through action for justice, action against poverty. And our faith increases. And we do these things not because it's fun, although sometimes things can be fun, but because it's what we're called to do. It's how we live into the great commandment to love ourselves, love one another, love God first. And as disciples, we use the gifts that we've been given, knowing that we will trip and perhaps even fall as we journey the road of following Jesus. Following Jesus and spreading the gospel. Do what you can with what you have. Don't wait until you think you're perfect. Don't wait until you think you're informed enough to do God's work. The world needs Jesus now. And yes, God could reach down and fix all the things that we think need to be fixed. And sometimes we even blame God for not fixing those things and considering that he comes up short. But see, here's the thing. All the turmoil and injustice in the world doesn't happen by the hand of God. It happens by the hand of human beings. He didn't fix it. But guess what? He called us to do it. Sometimes in our blaming God, we feel distance from God. We feel like that God is not listening to us. But are we speaking to him, or do we just expect him to increase our faith, to do all the work for us? He called us to do in the world what it is that needs to be done in the name of the gospel. We are responsible. We are responsible to God to take care of this creation that God gave us, and we are responsible for the care of one another, and we are responsible for ourselves. The passage in Matthew has always resonated with me, and when the King James Version was the mainstream Bible, it read like this: "Come unto me, all ye who are heavy laden, and I will refresh you." Jesus will take on those things that weigh you down. Now, that doesn't mean, again, that he's willing to step in and do your job, but what he is willing to do is to bear your burdens for you and with you. Come unto him. So who among us would invite our servant or somebody we consider to be lesser than us to come and share a meal with us? Who among us is willing to take on another one's burden or do ministry that's not easy? To overcome the fear that keeps us from being the word of Jesus in the world, things like feeding the poor, visiting people in prison, doing things that make us uncomfortable. So we all know that there's no need of shortage in the world of all kinds of things, but there is a shortage of faith. Or maybe not. Maybe it's not a shortage of faith that's in the world, but perhaps a shortage of putting faith into action. Now, we hear in Timothy that we're invited to suffer in the gospel. Oh, great. That's just what I need. But Paul encourages Timothy to join him in the suffering for the gospel. And the nature of this suffering is to experience firsthand the frustration that comes when people don't accept Jesus or when people who claim to accept Jesus don't act like it. Paul encourages Timothy to join him in the suffering for the gospel, and not my words, but Goodwin's. Paul's witness reminds us that boldness does not mean fearlessness. It means living faithfully in spite of fear. Not easy. But remember, when the burden is too much, we can turn to Jesus for relief, and he will take it from us. Our call to respect the dignity of every human being isn't easy. But we can't wait for easy. We need to remember the mustard seed, take the seed that is planted in us, begin where we can, knowing that God is with us, and we will grow. I sent this out yesterday, but it really bears a second read. From Jeffrey at SSJE, the word for the day was wonder. You may be feeling bored with what's around you, but look again as St. Francis would. Francis was continually overwhelmed by the beauty of the world, not just trees and flowers, but also the wounded, the broken, and the sad. He had a vivid sense of the sacramentality of all creation. All things reflected their Creator's love and filled him with wonder and joy. Ask God to renew your vision. I invite you to ask God to renew your vision. Amen. Please stand.